It's Your Money with Paul Nichols, the show that pulls back the curtain on the financial service industry and exposes the truth about the traditional financial planning model. Paul Nichols is the president of Financial Abundance Incorporated, a registered investment advisor with offices in State College and Lewisburg, Pennsylvania. He is a member of the National Ethics Bureau, the Better Business Bureau, the Chamber of Business and Industry Center County, and a member of the Strategic Coach Quarterly Forum. Paul once looked to Wall Street for all the answers, but now he uses simple solutions grounded in academic research from leading professors at Harvard, Yale, Princeton, and the University of Chicago, including several Nobel laureates. His core belief is education plus understanding leads to clarity and confidence, resulting in lasting peace of mind. You do not need to know everything if you have a coach teaching you the few right things. And now, here's your investor coach.
Good morning, Pennsylvania. This is Paul Nichols, the investor coach. I hope this finds you well today. Here we are, another Saturday morning with It's Your Money, the show that pulls back the curtain on the financial services industry and exposes the truth about money and investing. We believe you don't need to know everything if you have a coach teaching you the few right things. I am joined, as usual, or at least as usual of late, by my friend Luke Miller, who works with me. He works with me in the office with EDI and Financial Abundance. And Luke is a young whippersnapper, a little wet behind the ears. So we're gradually forming him into a entrepreneur extraordinaire, right, Luke?
That's what the goal is.
Well, I appreciate you coming on.
I appreciate you having me.
Yeah, and we have to thank Jamie for Jamie is Luke's better half. We have to thank her for taking some time away from her to get Luke.
Once again, she's stuck with the household.
Yeah. So. I heard a joke the other day. It was so funny. I can't remember what it is as it relates to some guy said, yeah, I've got four kids at home, a wife, and that's why I'm here. But, you know, that's not. Hope you had a good Mother's Day last weekend. This weekend's nothing special except it is close to summer. Hey, you know what? I take that back. It's graduation, isn't it?
I think it is.
Well, congratulations to all of you brain skulls full of mush that are now considered dangerous, I guess.
You're intelligent now.
Yeah, congratulations. It's quite a feat to accomplish that degree. So kudos to all of you that did make that fruition, dream come true. They brought that to fruition. Is that the right terminology?
Mm-hmm.
All righty then. Well, hey, what do we got going on today, Luke? We got, we are going to talk about the market update.
Well, as always.
We're going to focus on... we're going to talk about IRAs, Roths, and 401ks again this weekend.
Yeah, I think we need to clarify some of last week's show.
I don't know if it needs clarification as much as it needs, you're right, clarification, more information.
Right.
We got to always keep in mind that a lot of the folks out there aren't practicing a contrarian approach, if you will.
Exactly.
They're just kind of following the crowd, and so we need to give them a little more information so they become... more educated.
Right. Well, if everyone was practicing a contrarian practice, they
wouldn't be
not contrarian anymore.
Yeah, that's right. It wouldn't be contrarian, would it? We're going to start with our weekly update, our market update, I should say, which we do every week. And why do we believe it's important to do this market update? Well, because you only see the S&P 500 or the Dow or perhaps the NASDAQ whenever you look at the news. And that only represents large U.S. companies. That doesn't represent small value, small growth, international, emerging markets. It doesn't approach value companies. It only focuses on large U.S. companies.
A small picture.
And why do we believe it's so important that they understand all the indexes, Luke? Why is it that they need to know what each index is doing out there?
Well, if they're going to be properly diversified, then someone's going to need to own more than just large U.S. companies.
Right, so if they've got a well-diversified portfolio, that's easy for you to say. If they've got a well-diversified portfolio, then they're going to have large companies, small companies, growth companies, value companies, international companies, emerging markets. They're going to have the whole smattering, the whole ball of wax, right?
So what you're saying is they're going to own everything.
That's right, and if you believe the market's efficient, as do we're not trying to beat the market because you can't beat the market.
Not consistently.
Not consistently without a whole bunch of cost. So we're just going to take what the market gives us. Remember, investing in the market's like walking up a flight of stairs with the yo-yo. It's going to go up and down, but it's consistently gone up. We have about 1 out of 3 years is down, 2 out of 3 years is up. So we believe it's important to make sure that we get people a market update so they have a, they're not going to hear it anywhere else. We might as well give it to them, a well-rounded view of all the asset classes, because if they're not just in U.S. large, they need to know what else is going on. So let's start with, you know, we got to change the order of these so they flow a little better.
All right.
But let's start with the Russell 2500 index, which measures the performance of small to mid-cap companies in the U.S. So these would be U.S. growth companies as measured by the Russell 2500 index. How are we doing this year?
Actually, this year, year-to-date, we are up 7.4%.
Go, baby, go! Yay, so team.
A common trend we'll see this week, actually, which is pretty promising.
Yay, team!
And month-to-date, of course, this is as of last Friday.
Right.
So it's a week's worth of data, a little over a week. But we're up 5%.
5%. Okay. By the way, for those of you maybe wondering, we've been pre-recording this show for a few weeks now. So if you've been calling in, obviously you probably didn't get anybody because no one's in the studio at that time. And the reason I've decided to pre-record these shows is because I've got little kids and I found I was taking so much time away from them that it makes more sense for me to record this. Now, we're still going to do a live show every once a month, which this month will be on when, Luke?
The 30th, correct.
Yeah, because we're going to have Kids Corner, right?
Yep.
We're going to have some kids from Mountain Indy Middle School come on. But for those of you that really have questions, and the reason I mention this, we are pre-recorded. If you have questions, you need to call us directly at the office, 867-5745. Again, it's 867-5745. Or you can email us. Email Luke. Luke at ed-inc.com. That's Luke at ed-inc.com. Back to the market update. So we've got the Russell 2500, which measures small growth companies, doing well. How about the Russell 2000, which measures small cap or micro value companies?
Once again, year to date, it is up. Now it's up 3.1%. And
I'm sorry, it's not value companies. That's the Russell 2000 value. We're talking about the Russell 2000, which measures small or micro.
Did you mean to go to value?
No, go ahead. Okay. Let's go back.
Once again, Russell 2000 index is what we're doing, small or micro. It's month-to-date, we're up 5%. Year-to-date, we're up 3.1%.
Hey, team, we're up. So positive. If you own small, you're up. If you own small cap and micro cap companies, you're up. How about the Russell 1000, which measures the performance of large value companies? Now, what's the difference between a growth company and a value company, Luke?
A value company is going to be an unexcellent company, I believe is what you refer to.
Yeah, or slightly distressed, a distressed company.
Someone that there's going to be a little more risk with it. You're going to get a higher return, but there's a little more risk for them.
Yeah, and a good example of a large U.S. growth company would be?
Large U.S. growth or large U.S. value?
Growth.
Growth would be Walmart.
And value?
Kmart.
Great. This just helps people paint a picture to it. So, folks, you know, for years, I didn't know what the difference between a growth and a value company was, and it's so simple, it's unbelievable. It's very simple. A growth company is a well-established company, good earnings. They're going to get the best deal when it comes to borrowing or selling stock, where an unexcellent company is going to cost them a little bit more to borrow money. It's going to cost them a little bit more or their lower price in stock price because people want value. So a value company and a growth company, you want both of them in a well-diversified portfolio. So the Russell 2000 Value Index measures the performance of Russell 1000 measures the performance of large cap value. How's large cap value doing?
Month to date, it's hitting a home run. It's up 9.3%.
Wow.
Year to date, it pulled up into the positive, and it's at just under a percent.
Just under a percent. Okay, so small caps are doing very well. Micro caps are doing very well. Large cap value has done well the last week or so. But year to date, it's still sluggish. How about the Russell 2000 value, which measures small company? That are value. See, we need to change the order of this, Luke.
Keep the smalls together.
Yeah. The Russell 2000 value measures the performance of small cap value. How's it doing?
Month to date, another strong segment, another strong index. That's up 6.5%. But year to date, it's still trying to get up into the positive, still in the red. It's negative, just under a percent.
So
negative.
Our small value's down a little bit.
Just a little bit.
Okay, but everything else is up so far. And of course, S&P 500. Which everyone sees, that measures predominantly 500 large U.S. companies.
Correct.
Growth. How's it doing?
Month to date, up 6.5%. Year to date, it's in the positive at 2.9.
So year to date, what we're seeing smoking right now is small growth companies.
Right.
And right behind that would be micro.
Mm-hmm.
And then would be then it would be large.
Correct.
Now, what do we see in most people's portfolios?
Large.
Large, almost all large. That's about it. We rarely see any small growth or value, do we?
It's a rare occasion that shows up.
So our portfolios are doing pretty good so far this year, but I wonder how many of yours out there are doing. If you don't have small cap, you're probably going to be hurting, especially once we get into international.
Well, and the other question is, do you know what's in your portfolio?
Well, that's another question. Most people don't have a clue. They don't know what's in it. They don't know what the fees are. They don't know what the mix is. They don't know what the risk is. We can help you with that, by the way. We can show you exactly what's in it. We can help you answer 10 of the 20 must-answer questions with an analysis that we have. Let's get into Morgan Stanley Capital International. Let's talk about the World Index, which really focuses on developed market countries like Greece, Hong Kong, Ireland, Italy, Netherlands, Norway, Portugal, to name a few. How is the developed countries doing, according to Morgan Stanley?
They're doing well. Month to date, we're up about 7.3%. And year to date, we're approaching 4%, just under 4.
Just under 4. How about emerging markets? Emerging markets would include emerging markets. They would not be developed. They would be the emerging markets: Chile, China, Morocco, Mexico, Philippines, to name a few.
This is the all-star of the group. This one, which is a shame because most people, I'm guessing, don't
have
this.
They're not even in it.
They're not even close to this.
They certainly don't own all of it like we do. We own everything.
Right. So we're looking at this month to date, we're at 9.4%, and year to date, it's up 27.88%.
Wow, we're smoking with emerging markets, 28%. All right, let's go with the last one, which is the Morgan Stanley Europe, Australia, and Far East. This would be everything international but the U.S. and Canada.
We are looking month to date 6.77%, and year to date, we are up 2.32%.
Wow, so we've pretty much covered the whole marketplace. Now, what's smoking? Emerging markets is smoking. Small value, micro cap is smoking. And S&P large growth is doing all right. It's a little bit low. But you know what? What's great about what we do, Luke?
We're getting all of it.
We own all of it, baby. Doesn't matter what's up, we're getting it. And doesn't matter what's down, we're getting it. But once again, walking up that flight of stairs with the yo-yo, it's going to go up and down, but overall, it goes up. So a lot of people, if they don't have a well-diversified portfolio, they're going to be missing out on some action.
Oh, a ton of action.
Now, what are most people doing right now? What are most money managers doing right now, Luke? You can bet they're chasing emerging markets right now.
Certainly.
And which is ridiculous. They should have owned it all along. So they are, as usual, buying high and selling low, when they should be doing just the opposite. Isn't one of the tenets of successful investing to sell high and buy low?
I bet you couldn't find anyone who would argue that with you.
But I'll bet you very few people realize it doesn't happen in their portfolio.
Well, in the traditional model, it's almost impossible to do.
Yeah, it is almost impossible to do. You can't keep chasing the market and expect to miss out on market segments. So we don't chase it. We own it all. And we say own it all. Get it all. Get all that emerging markets up 28, or small values up 7.5. Our small cap is up 3. The other stuff, values are kind of like lackluster right now. And the large cap growth isn't doing that great overall. But the market is making a positive trend. With that being said, you are listening to Paul Nichols, the Investor Coach. I'm joined by Luke Miller this morning. We're part of Coach's Corner. You already heard Tim Rogers and Ken Pash. And we'll be right back on the other side of the break.
Have you borrowed money from your 401k or 403b? Big mistake. Never borrow money from your retirement plan, no matter what. Many people think it's harmless, but it's anything but. First of all, your money you borrowed isn't just borrowed. It's actually removed from the plan. That means your account won't grow as much as it would have. Second, you have to repay the loan, and that means you're paying taxes twice on the same money. So never borrow from your retirement plan, and if you have to pay it back, right away. To learn more about investments, IRAs, retirement planning, mortgages, insurance planning, buying homes, eliminating non-preferred debt, and more, call Paul at Financial Abundance, 814-867-5745. Or check out their website, financialabundanceinc.com. You don't need to know everything if you have a coach teaching you the few right things. Call Paul at 814-867-5745.
Welcome back to It's Your Money with the investor coach, Paul Nichols. I'm joined by Luke Miller. We're in our second segment of It's Your Money. It's Your Money is a it's a financial, I don't want to call it a talk show. What's a better word for it, Luke? Not talk show. I guess it's a more of an, because it's educational. It's not really about, it's about Paul talking more than anybody, I guess.
Yeah, I get a couple words in there every now and again.
Yeah, but it's a financial talk show. Talk show is not the right word. I was thinking about the other day. It's really a financial educational show that pulls back the curtain on the financial services industry and exposes the truth about money and investing. And in fact, that's what we want to do this segment, isn't it?
That's exactly.
We want to reiterate this concept of tax deferral. And, you know, what the industry has taught for many, many decades since the IRA has been out, that you should defer the taxes for a later date with the idea that you are in a lower tax bracket at retirement. Thereby, the deferral of the tax then made sense, right, Luke?
Right. It's a good deal.
Right. The fallacy with this, as we have watched IRAs being that have been around for 25 plus years now, is that we're not seeing very many people in a lower tax bracket, are we, Luke?
No, especially with things going the way they are. I don't see taxes going down anytime soon within our lifetimes. I mean, right now we're at historically low taxes, if you can believe that.
Historically low, what do you mean?
Well, I mean, compared to the, let's see, when was it, 1979? The top income tax rate was 70%.
Well, they've lowered the tax rate now. In 2010, it's the highest rates going back up to 39.6.
Right.
But at the same time they lowered them during the Reagan years, they took away a lot of deductions.
Sure.
And that's what really is screwing people up now, see? Because what happens is they get to the point where they retire. They've deferred all that tax. Now, some people have put money in Roths, but Roths have not been around that long.
No, and there's
10, 12, 15 years maybe.
And there's a limit to what you can put into it.
There's a limit
and
to
not
the
everyone
Roths.
Can use it.
That's
and
right. Not everyone can. But the challenge is, by the time you retire, most people have paid off their house.
Certainly.
So they have no interest deduction. All their kids are grown or out of the house. At least they'd like them to be out.
If they're not, they still might not be able to be a
deduction. Unless they have younger kids. I mean, there's some older people, I guess, that could have younger kids.
But typically not retiring with younger kids.
Right. So they don't have any interest deductions. They don't have any child deductions. And they're at they're not funding any more qualified plans.
They don't have their qualified plan deduction.
So they have, the standard deduction is really all they can take at a point in their life when they're probably collecting more income than they ever have.
Right.
Social Security, pension if they have it. Or money from their IRAs, 401ks, or they might have, you know, other incomes, maybe from like the, you know, from oil, or they might have real estate, or some people might have more diversity in their investments. But this is, excuse me, this is why I really don't promote putting money into an IRA, because of the fact that people aren't retiring in a lower or the same tax bracket. It's generally the same or higher.
Well, yeah, I mean, especially when you start looking at the real tax bracket they're in, the effective tax bracket, when you consider deductions and that kind of thing, yeah, when you start taking those away, that puts your tax up pretty quick.
So that's why we talk about, I don't encourage clients, it's very rare, it'd be a very rare scenario that we would encourage clients to continue to fund a traditional IRA. Now, a Roth's different.
Right.
Because it doesn't matter what the tax rates are later.
No, and most likely, you know, it's a known quantity now, which with the government is a hard thing to find.
The lowest tax you're probably ever going to pay is going to be right now.
Right. Well, let's face it. If you are going to be in a lower tax bracket, chances are you're not in a position to be, you know, to have the money saved for you anyway.
So well, that's true.
If you're saving this money and you're being a good steward of your money and you're putting it away and you're doing the right things, so you're told. Then yeah, this applies to you. If you're not funding an IRA and you're not and you don't have a 401k, you know, there's a good shot that this isn't necessarily prudent to you anyway.
Well, let's analyze this for a moment, because I know that some of you may be listening to me and say, geez, that guy's out there when he's saying not to put money in a traditional IRA. I think you should put max out your Roth if you're able to, depending on how much money you make. Now, the numbers are supposed to go up on that exclusions in the near future, 2010, or a 401k. I wouldn't say put a dime in more than they'll match. You got to realize that really all your employer's doing is paying your tax liability.
Well, and if you put more money into your 401k than your employer's going to match, I mean, you kind of handcuff yourself. It's money that you have very little, if any, say over how it's invested, control. What they're doing. Right. You have limited control. Mm-hmm. And getting at it, as we find with a lot of our clients, is quite difficult unless you reach their criteria.
Right, right. Well, and so our thinking is go up to the match and then put the extra in a Roth if you can, and if you can't, there are non-qualified alternatives out there that act just like the Roth without the strings attached to it. Now, there's some education that needs to take place there, but that's why we don't believe in the IRA, traditional IRA, and I did for many years, folks, okay? I'm not an ostrich that just sticks my head in the sand, but all of a sudden, I started hanging out and working with some financial strategists around the country, and I realized none of these guys were promoting traditional IRAs. And the reason for that is this. Let me give you, I'm looking at something called the taxed advantage seed or harvest. And you can tell the harvest story in a minute, Luke. But what I wanted to focus on here was back when traditional IRAs were $3,000. Remember, you could put $3,000 in way back,
right?
That was 7-8 years ago, and then gradually they go up. Well, at one point, let's look at a scenario where a couple has put $3,000 each into a traditional IRA for 30 years.
Okay.
So they've put $6,000 a year in for 30 years, and they have $180,000 total contributions. Now, the reason that the traditional IRAs seem appealing is this. If that person happened to be in the 30% bracket, just to make the math easy, mm-hmm. okay, that means if they put in $6,000, they got a $2,000 tax break, right?
Sure.
So Uncle Sam paid one third of their IRA.
Right.
You follow me?
Yeah.
Okay, you put in six. Uncle Sam gives you a break for two. So you're really netting, putting in four, and they're putting in two.
Right, right.
So in 30 years, you would have saved $60,000 in taxes.
On the front side.
On the front side, on the seed. So you put in 180 total contributions, 120 of it was yours, and 60 was Uncle Sam's. Does that make sense?
Yes, I'm with you so far.
So a total of 180,000 in contributions. Let's say you earn 6% on that account.
That's a reasonable
number.
For
30 years, you would have $500,000 in that account. Now, when you hear me talk about a permanent tax lien on your IRA, that's exactly what I'm talking about. You have an account value of $500,000 that is totally subject to tax.
But you don't have $500,000.
You don't have $500,000, no. Because let's say you were pulling the 6% out once you retire, only the interest. In other words, you want to keep the 500 principal in there. So you're pulling out 6%. 6% of $500,000 would be $30,000. Now, do you get to keep all 30?
No, you don't. You got to pay Uncle Sam sooner or later.
If you're in the same tax bracket, which is what happens to people, okay, in the third tax bracket, there's no reason why this guy's tax bracket would have gone down.
No, not especially with $500,000 sitting out there, $30,000 a year, and no deductions.
His income needs.
Right.
Okay.
No deductions.
So if he pulls out 30, how much does he got to pay in tax?
30%.
Which is $10,000.
$10,000 a year.
So in 6 years, he's paid back all the tax savings he got over 30. Now, what happens for the next 10, 20 years of his life? Every time he pulls out 30...
Still paying taxes
he's gonna
on
pay
it.
So, folks, this is what I mean. If you put pencil to pad and actually analyze this, the only argument that would make the traditional IRA valid is if the IRS said to you, we're going to tax it at the same rate you put it in. Or if you are one of the rare situations where your tax liability is lower.
Sure.
We haven't seen that.
Or if you truly believe that taxes are going to go down by the time you retire.
Then it would probably be a smart move, I guess.
If you're convinced taxes are going to go down, then yeah, traditional IRA makes perfect sense.
So this is why I make the statement that if your planner is trying to help you retire on two-thirds of what you were not getting by on before, or even if you were on two-thirds, I say fire them. Because my goal is to get you at 100%+ of what you're used to living on.
And you consider when you retire, you've got a lot more time on your hands to spend money. When you're working, you're at work half the time, making your money, earning your money. You're not out there going to playing golf. You're not out there going on vacation. You're stuck at work where you can't spend money.
It creates a scarcity mentality, Luke. A mm-hmm. lot of people that come through our office are worried that they can't retire. And a lot of them, when I look at their situation, they can't they, Luke?
Oh, surprisingly, a large number of them can retire sooner than they anticipate.
Yeah, but they just don't understand some retirement. And in fact, we're going to talk about that later. I have Kevin Neuber from California calling in, and we're going to do an income for life discussion where we talk about a non-traditional approach to creating an income for life model for people without using the traditional tenets of financial planning, which is grow your money as much as you can and then pull 4 or 5% a year off. That just doesn't work anymore. Folks, look, reverse mortgages would not be as popular as they are. A lot of this spewing from the mainstream media is just not accurate. You know, I've been making a statement a lot lately. I believe traditional financial planning has failed in this country, Luke.
Well, and your evidence is hard to argue with. When you point out the number of times you see the commercial for the reverse mortgage, when, you know, the number of people who ask you about a reverse mortgage, it's sad.
Yeah, and you know, reverse mortgage is a good product. It's a good tool for people. What aggravates me is they're painted in a corner, but it's simply, and they have to take the money out of the house and they have to use a reverse mortgage. I guess my concern is that a lot of the planning that's done today is 40, 50-year-old archaic viewpoint of planning, and there's just so many smarter ways to do things. Folks, have you ever wondered how we can have technological advancements in every area of our life, but in financing, it's the same old mantra? Stocks, bonds, mutual funds, tax deferral. That's the mantra.
The only thing that's changed is how much you can monitor it, what you can see.
You can see more of it.
But the strategies...
And they're wrong. They're downright wrong. And I think if for those people out there that are listening every week and they're saying, man, Paul, you make sense, but it's kind of different, you need to give us a call and sit down so we can show you or get some of the tools that we have. Now, we're going to be promoting the next segment, my book, The Dirty Filthy Lies My Broker Taught Me and 101 Truths About Money and Investing. This is a book that Mark Mattson and I had co-authored. And it's a simple book and easy to understand, but there's so many truths that people need to understand about money that they just don't understand, and the financial industry has no motivation to teach it because they make way too much money on fees and transactions, and they love this whole idea of tax deferral.
Sure.
More money in the account.
Exactly. They get paid no matter what, so if they can work on the government's money and make money on it, they don't really care if you're going to get hit with a tax lien at the end.
Yeah. Well, listen, folks, you've been listening to Paul Nichols, the Investor Coach. It's Your Money, part of Saturday Morning Street Smarts, Coach's Corner. Every Saturday, we pull back the curtain on the financial services industry and expose the truth about money and investing. And this week, we were just talking about tax deferral. We're going to come back, and we're going to talk about some truths from the book, The Lies My Broker Taught Me. And then a little bit later, we have Kevin calling in, and we're going to spend a fair amount of time on income for life scenarios. I hope you're having a wonderful day, and I appreciate you joining us. You're listening to Paul Nichols, the Investor Coach, host of It's Your Money. We'll be right back. If you need a second opinion, you know where to get it, right here at Financial Abundance. We do that sort of thing all the time. If you get a set of recommendations or a proposal from an advisor, get a second opinion. We are happy to provide it to you. If what you are doing, you're not sure about, or you're not certain about the fees, you're not certain about the risk, you're not certain about the diversification, you're not certain about the redundancy inside of the fund, you're not even sure about the fund itself. Are you doing what's suitable for your situation? If you're not sure, ask. We are happy to help you figure it out. Just call us anytime during the week at 814-867-5745 or check out our website, financialabundanceinc.com. Again, it's 814-867-5745 or our website, www.financialabundanceinc.com. We are back. Hey, this is Paul Nichols, the Investor Coach. Hope this finds you well. You're listening to It's Your Money, the show that pulls back the curtain on the financial services industry and exposes the truth about money and investing. We believe that you don't need to know everything if you have a coach teaching you the few right things, and our paramount belief, in fact, it's part of our mission statement, we believe education plus understanding leads to clarity and confidence that can very well result in peace of mind. What do you think, Luke?
I think it can't be said any better than that.
And you've seen it happen, haven't you?
On a regular basis.
You know, folks, Luke mentioned something earlier. He goes, man, you're kind of sedate this morning.
A little mellow.
And I am a little mellow. I was so passionate last week that I said, you know what? I need to trim it back a little bit. I'm just an intense, passionate guy. Would you say that's how I am, Luke?
I think that might be the understatement of the day.
And I'll tell you, I get passionate about injustice, and I see an awful lot of it in this industry. And you know what? There's a lot of great people out there that are working really hard on your investments and doing the right thing. The unfortunate thing is a lot of them, like me, are part of a mechanism that's dialed in against us.
Well, and it's, you know, one of the other things you say is you don't know what you don't know. And it, you know, it took you getting clobbered in the head once or twice to get to the point where you are now. You know, I happened to be lucky and fell into a situation where I was taught the right things from the beginning. But, I mean, it's when you see everyone doing it the same way, and that's what everyone teaches, it's hard to change your mind, and it's to turn your mind around and to look at it from the other point of view.
That's true, but I'll tell you what. There's nothing more exciting. I just had a meeting Monday with Frank.
Mm-hmm.
And what a great guy, Frank and his wife. And their
terrific.
Clients.
Terrific.
People. And, you know, it's so exciting to see when they get it. And, you know, here a guy that came in and was doing things the traditional way, and then gave him some books and some CDs and started him down an educational process, what, 6, 8, 9 months ago? Something like that, probably.
Yeah, this was way back
in
the summer.
About a year ago, probably, yeah. And it's so exciting. I just get so juiced when I see that he's hitting it on the head. He understands what's going on. He's done his own research. He's gone and verified everything that we talk about. And now he's starting to do things the right way. And you know what, folks? You've done the best you can up till now with the information you've had access to. So, you know, so often I have to reiterate over and over to people, you're not a dummy. You're not stupid. You're an intelligent individual. You know, it's just that the industry is skewed against you. It's kind of like, you know, I think of the old story of the four generations of women. You've heard this story, right, Lou?
I love this story.
There was four generations of women preparing a holiday meal, and the great-granddaughter goes to her mother and says, Mom, let me help you prepare the ham. And mother said, okay, lop off the end and then put it in this pot. And she goes, well, why do we cut off the end, Mom? And she goes, well, that's the way my mother's always done it. If you really want to know, go ask your grandmother. So she went over to the grandmother and said, Grandma, why is it we cut the end off the ham before we put it in the pot? And she goes, well, that's the way my mom did it. Grandma's out on the porch enjoying the weather. Why don't you go out and talk to her? She went out to talk to her great-grandmother. Great-grandmother, why is it that we cut off the end of the ham? And she goes, well, honey, back in my day, we only had one pot. And the ham wouldn't fit in the pot, so we had to cut off the end of the ham, and we'd prepare the meal, and we'd use that piece left over for bean soup. And, you know, they'd make ham and bean soup and what have you. And she goes, really? So that's the only reason? She goes, yeah. You know, that story just reverberates in my mind, Luke, because, you know, why do you do what you do? Well, that's the way I was taught, or that's the way I've always done it. Now, a great-grandma kind of laughs a little bit because she chuckles, that's the only pot I had. Well, you know, back in the 30s when she was cooking ham, when they were lucky enough to have ham, you know, they only had one pot to cook it in. But oftentimes, you know what I call that? That whole idea of just kind of going on the way we always have. I call it the history of baggage.
Baggage of history.
Baggage of history, yeah. Slash that, reverse it, as Willy Wonka would say. The baggage of history. You know, and I had certain thoughts that I always had, you know. For example, when I used to work out, when I played football in school, they wouldn't let us drink water the whole workout. It wasn't until after the workout, back in, this was back in the 70s and 80s, early 80s, late 70s, and they would give us salt pills. They don't do that kind of stuff anymore. They'd give us salt pills afterwards. We'd take the salt pills, drink the water, but we wouldn't get any water the whole workout.
Wow.
Well, you know, people dehydrated and died, and now that was something that was changed. Now, I don't know what their thinking was behind there. I thought it was cramping.
Trying to make it tough.
Well, and they tried to, you know, it has to do with cramping, and there's a reason why they did it, and they realized, hey, this is not the smart thing to do. But for many years, it's the way it was always practiced. So oftentimes we do things because that was the way we taught, or our dad did them that way, or our grandfather did them that way. And it doesn't necessarily make them wrong, but there could be a better way to do things, which brings us to this segment that we want to focus on, which deals with the book, Dirty Filthy Lies, My Broker Taught Me, and the 101 Truths About Money and Investing. And there's really about basically 101 truths in here. Is there somewhere you'd like to start in this, Luke? Because Luke brought up the idea. He said, Paul, you need to really, you know, let's spend a little time talking about the book, because I've gained such a tremendous amount of information from it.
Well, you put a lot of work into this. You and Mark both did. And, you know, I think the other thing that we should put out there right now is if someone wants a copy of this, they can call the office.
Yeah, we'll even sign it for them.
We'll sign it. And we've got a handful of them there. We don't have an unlimited supply, but we do have enough for a handful of people to call up and ask for one, or email, however they want to do it. But I think the easiest place to go, since we do have limited time, is the lies. What is inaccurate with what people are doing? Where have they been lied to? There's only 7 of them. I think we can go through these and explain them pretty quick and move from there.
Well, just before we get into that, though, you know, the book is broken down into the lies and the truths, and within the truths, it's broken down into several sections. Public enemy number one, the media. Never let anyone gamble with your money. Adam Smith was right. Emotion, the wellspring of investing volley. Did I say volley?
You said volley.
Did I meant folly?
I
meant folly, didn't I? Nuts and bolts of it. Risk is not just a word, and cost kills. And then the 20 must answer questions. So you wanted to focus on the 5 lies there?
The 7 lies, I think, would be a good place to start.
Where'd you get 7? Because I got 5 in here.
You have 5
you're
deadly
investors. You're thinking of the deadly investor traps.
You have 5 deadly investor mistakes. I have 7 lies.
Okay. All right. Fire away, my friend.
All right. Lie number 1, stock picking works.
Well, there's no empirical research to prove that it does. In fact, it's not important what stock you buy, ladies and gentlemen. It's in what's important is how does that stock relate to all the other stock in your portfolio because of something called correlation or dissimilar price movement. Tell them the story, Luke, about the umbrella and the suntan.
Oh, if they haven't listened to the show, then they haven't heard it. But if they've listened to the show more than once, they probably picked up on it. But essentially, if you own one or the other, you're going to have your good days and you're going to have your bad days. But you're not going to have both. You're not going to have the ups. If you own the sunscreen, you're not going to have the ups when it's raining. You're only going to be down. If you have the umbrella, it's only going to be up when it's raining, and it's going to be down when it's sunny. So the idea is owning both, you get that yo-yo going up a flight of stairs effect.
You capture what's up.
You capture what's up, and you buy what's low.
So if we were stock picking, and that was a strategy that worked, we'd be looking for not an umbrella and a suntan lotion, just the best umbrella or the best suntan lotion.
It'd be like trying to figure out what the weather's doing.
Yeah, and that doesn't work. Folks, it has no idea what stock you buy, really. It's how does that stock relate to the other stocks in your portfolio. Now, I know I can hear some of you out there right now talking to your buddy at the counter where they got this plane in the background going, well, I picked a stock last year. You know, that made me 45%, you know. Well, how'd the rest of your portfolio fare? I mean, come on. Let's be real here. Let's get real. Let's not fake thyself. Thou shalt not fake thyself out.
That's kind of like picking the lucky number on the roulette wheel in Vegas.
It is, baby. It's gambling is all it is. That's really, I mean, you might, you know, look, prudently invest the bulk of your money. If you want to gamble, then play around with the stock market. That's cool. Get an E-Trade account, but don't call it prudent investing. Call it what it is.
And don't call it your retirement plan, please.
Boy, time's ticking away, Luke. What do you got?
Line number 2, timing the market works.
No such thing. I mean, we've got a study that we can show if you miss the best 10 days out of any 10-year trading period, your returns are cut in half.
That's amazing.
I mean, it's
10
an incredible
days
study.
Nothing.
In fact, we did a blog on that. Go to the CDT and you'll see a blog on that we did.
Let's see. Ooh, another good line. Now, this isn't us speaking. This is your traditional broker saying, listen to us. Our research works.
Which is just unbelievable. They, you know, what that implies, and all of you have heard it if you've talked to anyone that sold you a mutual fund. We got the best money managers. We study the money managers, and we've got an incredible research department that full-time people that spin yada, yada, yada in computers and blah, 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 blah. And what that is implying is that there's someone out there that has some insight that the rest of us don't.
And if that was true, why would they have so many?
They would, and if it was true, what would their motivation be for telling us? If they really had that insight, why would they need to do anything? They could trade from St. Thomas on the beach, couldn't they?
They'd be doing really well for themselves.
Why would you? I mean, you'd be done. If you had some insight no one else had, why would you need to do anything but just set yourself up, set some friends and family up, people you love and care about, and you're good to go.
Life is good.
Yeah, exactly. Our research, that's nothing but a marketing pitch, ladies and gentlemen. Don't be fooled.
Line number four, track record investing works.
Well, for those of you, we don't even have to get into that. For those of you that have used Morningstar track record investing to buy a mutual fund and then watch it tank,
there
well,
you go.
You know how well track record investing works. It doesn't work at all. And there's no research whatsoever to prove it out. In fact, you'll find that 15%, only 15% of the money managers beat the market
in any
after
given
time. Year. So 85% of the money managers out there don't even get market returns, especially when you look at the cost involved in chasing the market.
All right. Line number five, commissions work.
Yeah, we always put your best interest first. We work for you. Okay? It becomes a morality tale. You know, it's very difficult. And I was commissioned at one point. It becomes very difficult to do the right thing when it comes down to dollars in your pocket and something called self-preservation.
Yeah, what's going to be more important to anybody, their family or anyone else?
Commissions don't work. You're better working on a flat fee. I can show people that. We show it to them all the time. Let's hurry up. We got about 2 minutes left
here. Well, we have two lies, so that's quick. Line number six, forecasting works.
We know what is likely to happen next, and you can use that to beat the market. Sounds like a game show, doesn't
it? Sounds like the crystal ball.
Yeah, that's hockey puck. If they knew... Again, you know, all this, folks, this is nothing short of marketing techniques that plays on your either greed or fear, and that they have some insight no one else has. Number seven.
Line number seven, markets don't work, or in other words, they are inefficient.
Well, we believe the market's efficient. We believe capitalism works. We believe that's what made this country great. We believe that's why everybody else wants to come to this country. And I know a lot of the people out there, I love Europe and the French and all that, and that's wonderful. If you want to go travel there and have a bottle of wine, eat some cheese, that's great. I've been there, done that. But I'll tell you, when it comes to freedom, individualism, entrepreneurism, capitalism, the market's efficient. America's great. We made it happen. And for those of you trying to poo-poo it, shame on you. The truth comes out. The truth will set you free. What comes around goes around. Would you agree, Luke?
I couldn't have said it better myself.
What comes around goes around, folks. Don't be fooled. The market works. It's always worked. It's efficient. The goods of price and services are figured in instantaneously, especially with technology. Well, hey, we got to let Luke go. That's it for this week, Luke. You're off easy. We're going to be right back after the break, and we're going to come back with Kevin from LifePro out of San Diego, and we're going to talk about income for life scenarios. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Americans are worried about the economy, and some think stocks may never recover. Hi, Paul Nichols here with some good news. Every bear market in history, like the one we're experiencing now, has been followed by huge gains in stock prices. After each bear market ended, stock prices rose an average of 38% in just 12 months, according to research from Ibbotson Associates. This means today's market volatility is not something to fret over, it's something to learn about and understand. If you are confused or scared about what's going on in today's economy, if the headlines and the media have you spooked, call my office at 814-867-5745 and ask about my Investor Awareness Guide to learn what you should be doing right now to survive this bear market. To get the guide, call us at Financial Abundance, 814-867-5745, or check out our website, financialabundanceinc.com. Welcome back. This is Paul Nichols, the Investor Coach. I hope this finds you well. You are listening to It's Your Money, the financial show that pulls back the curtain on the financial services industry and exposes the truth about money and investing. And I'm joined this morning by a good friend of mine from San Diego, California, Kevin Neuber. Kevin is a gentleman that I work with on a regular basis. He's with a company out of Life Pro. And Kevin is instrumental in helping me develop our income for life models for our clients. It's something that we specialize in our retirement and estate planning division of our company. And I've asked Kevin to come on. He'd been on, Kevin, you were on a few months back, weren't you?
Yeah, about 2 months ago, Paul.
Yeah, and we had a good time. I know I got a lot of good feedback from that show. And why don't you just take a couple minutes and give people a little background of who you are, Kevin, and what you guys do there at Life Pro.
Sure. I've been working with Paul for about 3 or 4 years now, and my responsibility over here at the company I work with, which is Life Pro, is I am the back office support for people that are out there building financial plans for their clients. So I work with about 200 independent financial planners out across the country, and I do everything from help them set up estate plans, income plans, retirement plans, life insurance plans, and many more other things.
Yeah, and we've been working together for a while, and of course, we're part of a mastermind group that meets in San Diego with some pretty high, some high producers, heavy hitters in the industry, right?
Oh, definitely.
We make up a very small segment. So when I come to you with strategies and techniques that seem a little contrarian, it comes from a lot of these sessions, Kevin? And you're involved in some of those. Some of them you're not. But I know Bill Zimmerman, who owns Life Pro, is instrumental in putting those groups together. And quite a bit of interesting strategies come out of those sessions, huh?
Well, they certainly do. And I would say what makes them the most interesting is they're never exactly what everybody else is doing. They're always something different. I think a lot of what your radio show has to do kind of relates to that, in that what you do and what we do is contrarian to what everybody else does out there, what everybody's been told to do, what financial planners have been told to do for the last 20 or 30 years, and then consequently what clients have been doing, because that's what they've been advised to do for the last 20 or 30 years. And so we definitely do things that go against the grain as far as what everybody thinks they're supposed to be doing.
You know, it's interesting you mentioned that, because the whole last segment prior to you, the segment we did just before you came on here, was all about that, you know, the IRA and the traditional mantra.
Yeah, exactly.
And how it doesn't normally work out when we do the plans the old way, does it, Kevin?
No, it's mind-boggling when, you know, I'm a younger person, and even in my shorter lifetime, I've been employed for, you know, 8 years out of college, and even in the short time, I was already being taught what to do, put as much money into my 401k and my IRA, and, you know, buy mutual funds and buy stock and so on and so forth. The same story that everybody's heard, I've only been in the workforce for a short period of time, and so, you know, people that have been out there working for 30, 40, 50 years, and now they're retiring, and they're going into that time of their life where they're going to be retiring. You know, they can't be following the same old advice that people have been giving for the last 30 or 40 years, because this is not going to work for them.
Well, what we find a lot of times with the traditional income planning model is that people run out of money.
Exactly. And that's what people don't understand, is that you do all this planning to build a model that reflects whatever kind of risk somebody is able to take on within their investment portfolio based on their personality and what their goals are. And so you build this model that says, okay, this fits your risk profile, and then people overlook that the biggest risk is the fact that people are living longer. It's their own longevity, and traditional financial planning doesn't take that into account, that if you live too long, that you're going to outlive your money.
Well, and I guess the traditional financial planning worked when life expectancy was 70.
Yeah, just like when, you know, Social Security worked when the average person lived to 68 years old, and you qualified for Social Security when you were 65, you know, back in the 1930s.
Right.
So it's the same kind of thing, where now we see that system is broken, and it has to do with people living so much longer than than the plan originally intended for people to live. And that's how traditional financial planning is today, is that it was built during a time where people lived till 70, 75, 80, not to 90, 95, and 100. And now the biggest risk that people face is that risk, their own longevity, not where their money's at.
Well, I've been talking about demographics a lot because of Lynn Rainier's stuff. And, you know, the fastest growing age group is between the fastest growing age segment right now in our society is between 90 and 94. Mm-hmm. And what we have, you know, the financial planning industry is always focused on inflation, but they've never really focused, and they focus somewhat on taxes, but they've done it backwards. They focused on deferral.
Yep.
So the two biggest areas that we're seeing, I know in my own practice that I work with you, Kevin, and you work with a lot of other guys that have practices similar to mine, so you can echo this. The two biggest areas that we see are points of concern are longevity and taxes.
Yep.
Obviously, inflation is too, but inflation has really taken a third seat, rather, over longevity and taxes. Would you agree that's true for a lot of the other planners that you're working with?
Yeah, I totally agree with that. It's weird that you are advised to put money into a plan and defer your taxes and say that that's the best thing that you can possibly do, and then all you're really doing is taking a liability, which is your tax, and you're just throwing that into the future at some future point where it's completely uncertain. You don't even know if taxes are going to be higher or lower. I think we all can agree they're probably going to be higher, and you know, the kind of planning that we do, some of the planning that we do, a lot of it has to do with tax-free vehicles, and also if taking care of your tax obligation now and just paying the taxes and getting it over with.
Yeah, so when we focus on this income for life model, let's talk a little bit about what that is, and then when we come back after the break, we'll get into some nitty-gritty. But basically, when we talk about an income for life model, we want to develop a predictable, guaranteed income stream that's going to last for the rest of their life. Would you want to add to that?
But the key part about it is that it's an income stream that you're never going to outlive. So even you're never going to run into a situation where if the market goes down or if you live too long that you're going to outlive your money. We're going to insure against that and make sure that no matter what, that every single year you're going to be receiving an income stream. And that's where the traditional financial planning fails, is there's no guarantee that you're never going to outlive your money.
And, you know, it's really fairly easy for us to do this, ladies and gentlemen. If you're out there listening, let's say, just give you kind of a scenario where this would come into play. Let's say that you're at retirement age or 5 or 10 years from retirement age. And by the way, the sooner you can set up some of these plans, the better they're going to be, right, Kevin?
Yeah. A lot of people think, well, I'm not going to retire for 5 or 10 years, so I don't really need to think about it. But I think with what's happened over the last 6 months, year in the market, I think that goes to show about how wise it is to start planning far ahead of time before you retire instead of waiting until the day you retire.
Yeah, you want to be proactive. So let's say, for example, that you know you're 55, you're getting ready to plan to retire at 60 or 65, and we know roughly, depending on whether you're going to take Social Security at 62 or 65, what that's going to be. We know roughly what your pensions are going to be if you're like with a Tia Kraft or if you're with the we have a lot of state employees and school system employees here, Kevin, in central Pennsylvania. You know what your pension's going to be, and you know what your income level's going to be. So if you know what your Social Security is going to be, you know what your pension or other sources of income are going to be outside of your IRAs, 401ks, and Roths, and we know basically what your fixed income is, and then we know what your income need is. Let's say, for example, your pension and Social Security is $50,000 a year, but you need $65,000 a year. So there's a $15,000 a year deficit. So when we start talking about an income for life model, what we want to do is plan for the income needs they need outside of their fixed income arenas, right, Kevin?
Exactly. You look at exactly what they are going to receive in retirement benefits, Social Security, pension income, so on and so forth. What they need, we can build an inflation into it as well, and build an income plan is going to fill in that gap for what they are going to get and what they need. And basically that's where we come in and provide that income stream.
So basically, when we come back from the break, we're going to talk about how we get into the nitty-gritty of that. But one of the focuses is, obviously, is to maintain a predictable, guaranteed income stream for life, but at the same time, to be as cognizant as we can about taxes. And you know, Kevin, I've been saying this, excuse me, a lot lately, and I've been really, you know, I'm putting myself out there. Reverse mortgages have become so rampant in this country. Would you agree?
Oh, absolutely.
And why would people need to use a reverse mortgage?
One of either they didn't save enough for retirement, or two, they the way that they saved is they were advised to pay off your home quick and to build up as much equity as possible in your home. So all that extra money that you could have saved in retirement accounts or for income stream went into equity. And now that they're learning that equity actually is not liquid and it gets tied up, and the only way, unfortunately, to get to it now is a reverse mortgage that people are finding.
Right. So I've been saying lately that I believe the traditional financial planning industry has failed when there's so many people out there that have to take a reverse mortgage because of bad planning or lack of planning on their own. In fairness to the industry, some people may have not gotten any type of professional advice and just went about, you know, their planning, listening to folks at the water cooler or friends or whatever. But for the majority of people, the industry as a whole is encouraging people to pay off their house because they're going to retire on 2/3 of what they needed before retirement. And I've been telling people, look, if your planner's trying to get you to retire on 2/3 of maybe what you weren't getting by on beforehand, you need to fire them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand why you would do that. Rather, start looking at everything that you have a little differently, because the reverse mortgages are proof in the pudding that the financial industry's advice does not hold water when people are forced toward the end of their life that they don't have the buying power they normally would have, or they have attenuation in buying power because of inflation, and they've lived longer than they thought, and now they're stuck in a situation where their only option is to do a reverse mortgage. And so, you know, I've been kind of fervent lately saying, hey, fire your planner if they're trying to get you to retire on 2/3. You know, obviously the reverse mortgages are proof in the pudding to me that the industry's failed. Now, I know a lot of other people aren't saying that, but to me, it seems quite clear.
Well, a lot of the reason why people aren't saying that is because there's a big business being driven by people paying down the equity in their home and buying bigger houses. And, I mean, I heard a commercial on the way to work this morning from the California Real Estate Association, and basically the way that it opened was saying that the you know, buy a home today because, you know, get into your home is your biggest purchase of your life. It's your dream. So you've heard this whole thing before, and as I'm listening to it, I'm thinking that, you know, here's another person who's probably going to buy a home, put a big down payment on it, and try to pay it off as fast as possible. And that's what the realtors want you to do. That's what the banks want you to do. And unfortunately, that's not the best way to do it.
No, and then you come up short on the other end. Well, with that said, let's go ahead and take a break here. You're listening to Paul Nichols, the Investor Coach with It's Your Money. I'm joined by Kevin Neuber from LifePro. We're going to take a profit center break, and we'll be back right after that break. Stay with us.
How are you feeling right now about your personal finances? Are you confident you are going to be able to retire in comfort and financial security? Probably not, from what recent surveys are telling us. According to the Retirement Confidence Survey, only 18% of American workers are confident that they will be able to afford a comfortable retirement. Only 5% of those surveyed have said that they are focusing on their retirement needs. It doesn't have to be this way. You know you need to deal with your financial future, but you're stuck because you don't know exactly what you should be doing. That's where Financial Abundance comes in. Simply call Financial Abundance. They can help you just as they have helped hundreds of others just like you. You can stop worrying about your financial future because you don't have to know everything. If you have an investor coach teaching you the few right things, they are ready to help you and will do it for you quickly and painlessly. Just call 814-867-5745. You can also visit us at financialabundanceinc.com. That's 814-867-5745.
Welcome back to It's Your Money. This is Paul Nichols, the Investor Coach. I appreciate you joining me this morning. If you're a first-time listener, welcome. If you're a regular listener, welcome back. We're on every Saturday morning from 10 to noon. We pull back the curtain on the financial services industry and expose the truth about money and investing. And this morning, we're having a conversation with Kevin Neuber from LifePro. He's out of San Diego, California. And we're talking about income for life models. I work with Kevin quite a bit developing predictable, guaranteed income streams. It's one of the facets of our practice. We believe that you can develop an income stream that is predictable and guaranteed. So Kevin's been kind enough to take some of his time to be with us this morning. And we're pulling back the curtain on the traditional financial planning model as it relates to income planning. Right, Kevin?
That is correct.
You know, we were talking earlier a little bit about the traditional planning model. We want to do not want to get into that right now. But what we want to do is really focus on giving people a kind of a picture, Kevin, of how we go about doing this. How do we go about developing a income for life model?
Well, what we do is we take the, like we said on the previous segment, we find out how much income somebody needs upon retirement and how much they're going to receive based on their pension plans, Social Security. And we find the difference, and then what we do is we build an income plan based on that need. An example would be if somebody needed about, you know, $15,000 a year of income to make up that gap for the rest of their life, and then what we would do is work backwards and build a plan that would give them that plus inflation, and we typically do it at about 3%, and that's going to give them income for the rest of their life. And we do it by dividing the money up into different segments. And the different segments into the different accounts that we use, we're going to use different kind of vehicles. The money that we put into, let's say, the first bucket, that is going to be the kind of vehicle where it's going to be the most safe, the most secure, have the strongest guarantees. Consequently, it's going to have a lower rate of return than everything else that we do. And then what we do is we build another bucket that goes on behind that, in which is going to go up for maybe 10 years. And then another one behind that that might go out for 15 years, and another one behind that that might go out for 20 years. And what we do is, typically in five-year periods, is we turn on each of these accounts and we take a guaranteed income stream from each of these accounts. And what we're able to do by doing that is give somebody a predictable, guaranteed income stream that they're guaranteed to never outlive.
So think of it, folks, kind of like a ladder. That's the easiest way to think of it. And you have an account that's set up for $15,000 for years 1 through 5, and then an account that's set up for $18,000 from years 6 through 10. Then an account that's set up for $22,000 from 11 to 15. So every 5 years, we have a different bucket that kicks in. It gives you an inflation increase, a raise. And the idea is that, yeah, we're going to have a lower yield in the beginning buckets because it's more liquid. But we're going to have a higher yield on the later buckets because they've had more time to grow. And then one thing that I do that's different than a lot of the plans that you set up is that we have another bucket, which is only that's in the market to grow it back. So, for example, let's take it a step further, Kevin. Let's say that we have a couple that's 60 years old, and they're going to retire in 5 years. Their pension and their Social Security is going to be 50, and they have a $65,000 a year need, so they have a $15,000 a year deficit. So we go look at it, all their other monies that they've accrued, they've saved, their IRAs, 401ks, Roths, annuities, bonds, whatever it is, and we say, okay, this is what we have to work with. Now, what's interesting, on a side note, it's interesting how planning focuses on accumulation rather than the distribution of the estate. And really, isn't that why we're saving the money, ultimately?
Yeah, that's where the traditional planning fails, is that it's so much focused on the accumulation part. And you mentioned a couple words that stood out, and that you said low rate of return, or I said that, and then you said yield. And that's really what the accumulation phase focuses on, is how to achieve the highest rate of return, and that's what financial planning focuses on. But that's one of the big mistakes that happens, is that people get so focused on accumulation and yields and returns is they lose sight of getting the guaranteed predictable income stream. Sure, we might get a lower return or a lower yield in one of these segments, but that doesn't matter when we're able to provide somebody the guaranteed income stream.
Right. And so the traditional financial planning model always focuses on accumulation, which is crazy. The whole time, you should be focusing on when you're going to pull the money out. So we set up this ladder of five-year buckets, if you will, and they spit out a certain income stream. And then we might set up 20 years guaranteed. And we know how much money we have to work with, and we'll know whether we can bridge the gap or not. So let's say we have this $15,000 a year deficit, and the couple's been able to put away $200,000. So we fund each of these buckets to guarantee the income stream, and then once that money is put in, whatever's left over that doesn't need to be in there for the guaranteed income, we can put that, and that's the only money that would be at risk in the market. So what we're trying to do is create a predictable guaranteed income stream. At the same time, we're trying to lower the risk across their portfolio as a whole by taking and getting some money out of the market. At the same time, we're trying to get the best yield that we can for any account that's going to do what we want it to do. Right, Kevin?
Exactly. And that's a perfect description of how it works. The key is that the only money that you ever put at risk is the money that is not going to be built within our plan. The part where you need the guaranteed income stream for the rest of your life, you can't afford that to put that money somewhere where you can lose it.
Yeah, now I'm looking at a few income ladders that we put together, Kevin, for clients. I'm obviously not going to mention the client's name, but these are pretty big cases, and I'm sure you probably got a couple smaller cases there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to lay one on somebody, some folks out there. I thought this was interesting. Now, this is a doctor, a local doctor here. So obviously they're used to earning a fair amount of money, and they've been able to accrue a good-sized chunk of money. But in their situation, for example, here's a couple that's going to retire in about 5 years, and they need $110,000 a year, Kevin, which, by the way, we're not in California. We're in Pennsylvania. You know, you can live quite comfortably here, 50, 60, 70,000. You would need probably about 100,000 to equate to about a $70,000 a year lifestyle in California. You know what I mean?
That's right. That would cover apartment rent out here.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's a lot more expensive out there, taxes. And it's not because of the governor, right?
No.
Not because of the governor. But you got $110,000 this couple needs, and their estimated Social Security is $36,000. So they've got a $72,000 a year shortfall. But they've also put away $2 million. So, and now, obviously, this is a big case. So this isn't the average guy. But what we were able to do is in bucket number one, we put about $250,000 in that bucket, and that guarantees this couple $5,300 a year for 5 years, or $63,800 per year. So I don't want to get into a bunch of numbers because we're on the radio, but here's what it boils down to, folks. They put in $249,000, they get a guaranteed five-year income stream off, and they end up pulling out $320,000. That's the first 5 years. So they picked up about $70,000. The yield wasn't as great as later accounts, but it's still significant in 5 years. You know, I think we got, 5% on that bucket? Does that
correct.
Sound right? 5%
yeah,
guaranteed,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Guaranteed 5% on that bucket. The next bucket that kicks in after year six, we put $211,000 in that bucket. So we didn't need to put as much in, although we pulled out $6,100 a month. So because of deferral, we were able to put in $211,000, but we pull out $370,000. So there's where that yield kicks in, huh, Kevin?
Yeah, the longer that we throw the money out into the future, the less we need to put into that account today.
Yeah, and then
it'll grow.
That's right. And so we guaranteed 10 years of income stream, and this is a couple that needs a lot of money, by the way. $110,000 is a lot of money to be pulling out of your retirement accounts. And then the last bucket, we put in $400,000, and that guaranteed them $7,200 per month for the rest of their life. So every 5 years, they'll pull $433,000 out of that bucket every 5 years for the rest of their life. So we needed about $900,000, but this guaranteed their income for the rest of their life. That whole $1 million that's left over, we don't even need. That's going to be taking care of vacations and kids and helping their kids out and all kinds of extra stuff. So this guy thought he needed all the $2 million to live on, and we showed him, look, you're guaranteed for the rest of your life. And we put some of that million in the market, and the rest of it, we put some in cash, and they've got all kinds of backup buckets, and this is really a great plan for them.
The best part about the plan is that if they would have done it the traditional way, they could have taken the same amount of money and tried to pull the same amount of income stream that we were going to be able to provide them, and the chances are that they would have outlived their money.
Oh, there's no question about it.
And if you take the average amount of income that they took out of all these different buckets moving into the future, it probably would have equaled about between 6% and 7% withdrawal rate on average. So if you just took the total amount we put in by 6% to 7%, that's how much we were taking out every single year.
There's no way a traditional plan would hold up to that.
Exactly, and study after study has actually shown that at a 6% withdrawal rate, that with 90% confidence that you're gonna run out of money in less than 20 years. And that's where the traditional planning has failed, is that people are doing a strategy where they're with 90% confidence you're gonna run out of money in less than 20 years, and we're giving them the same amount of income, and they're guaranteed never to outlive it.
Yeah, and you look at this plan, 433 plus 370, that's what, 8? Plus another 3, 9, 10, 11. We've pulled out $1.1 million out of this plan in 15 years, Kevin, and yep, still have $7,200 guaranteed for the rest of their life, and still have the balance of the account upon their demise.
Mm-hmm.
Which
yeah,
is quite substantial. So the income for life, I'll tell you, there's nothing that compares to it. We've done, I've been working with you. I don't know how many we've done. We've probably done well over 100 plans, installed well over 100 plans. We've probably figured a couple hundred. And I know since I've known you, you've watched guys install 1,000 plans. And, even the guys that have been, this isn't something that's new to a lot of people, but this strategy has been used for many years by some.
Yeah, and it's actually an old strategy. It's just something that people don't hear about or talk about too much because it goes against
the main industries.
And all the commercials that we see when we're watching the financial TV television shows, and it goes against Morgan Stanley and Schwab and the traditional investors or financial planners that are out there. And so that's why you don't hear people talking about it, is because it goes against what they're trying to do. So the message gets blocked, essentially, and our word doesn't really get out there.
Well, and I'll tell you, for example, when we're setting up this guy's account, the outfit that had that $1 million invested in the market did not want us to pull it out of there.
Of course.
And of course we've pulled it out and we've installed this plan, and this guy's set for life. In fact, this guy, I just met with him last week. In fact, this guy, this doctor, never thought he could retire for another 5 years, and he's seriously contemplating doing it this year.
Wow.
But he never thought he could before. He said, "Paul, at his heart, he's having some heart palpitations, some arrhythmia issues." And I said, "Well, what is it? What's causing it?" He says, "Well, I'm not sure. I don't know whether it's work or what it is, stress related." I said, "You don't have to keep working if you don't want to. You can stop if you want to." And he's seriously considering it, but he never thought that he could. Now we have about 20 seconds left. Do you want to add anything to that?
I would just say that. You don't have to wait. You don't have to wait 5 years to do a plan like this. There's a lot of the plans that we do where we're actually starting income streams 5 or 10 years in the future. So it's never too soon to start a plan, even if you think you're not going to retire for 5 or 10 years.
We'll be right back after the break. Is your financial advisor putting his money where his mouth is? Too many financial advisors tell their clients to buy investments that they would never invest in themselves. In fact, Morningstar has revealed that only 47% of U.S. stock fund managers personally own the funds they manage. More than half of the fund managers don't even invest their own money in the funds we're supposed to put our life savings in. Is the story same for the person who's giving you your investment advice? Ask your financial advisor if he has invested his own money in the same funds he has told you to buy. At Financial Abundance, we personally own the very same investments we are recommending to our clients. That's how we've done it for years. So you can see why we are so motivated to help our clients succeed. Because when our clients succeed, so do we. So call us at 814-867-5745 and see how we can help you. That's 814-867-5745. Or visit our website, financialabundanceinc.com. Welcome back to It's Your Money. My name is Paul Nichols. I'm the host. It's Your Money is part of Coach's Corner, Saturday Morning Street Smarts, where we pull back the curtains on the different coaches' respective industries, that being Tim Rogers, the real estate coach, Ken Pass, the leadership coach, and myself, the investor coach, Paul Nichols. We pull back the curtain on the financial services industry and expose the truth about money and investing, because we believe education plus understanding leads to clarity and confidence that can result in peace of mind. And we're in our last segment this morning. We're talking to Kevin Neuber from Life Pro in San Diego, and we're talking about income for life models. We started out talking a little bit earlier about just the traditional planning model compared to kind of what we're doing, and then we went in and started talking about a couple actual cases. Kevin, did you have a case that you'd like to share with the listeners, and any tidbits that might help them wrap their brains around this?
Sure. I ran into a case that I did on Friday, where we had somebody who they were 65 years old, and they didn't want to retire for 5 more years. They're going to work until 70, and we needed to provide them about $13,000 a year of income to start, and we wanted to have that build going out into the future. And this person, they were really, really conservative. They had most of their money in CDs, and they were really adamant about not taking the money out of CDs. They had been raised on the conservative approach of putting your money in the bank, putting it in CDs, and just using that for retirement. And basically what we did is we took the money that was in CDs, and we built it into this ladder, and we created 3 different buckets. And in the first bucket, we only needed to put in $63,000. But with the $63,000 we put into that bucket, we were able to get the $13,000 a year for 5 years. And you know, if you look at it, it doesn't seem like that's a lot of income that you're getting out of what you're putting in, the $68,000. It was what you're putting in. $63,000. But if you compare that to if they would have left the money in their CD that was earning 3% and withdrawing it from there, the different kind of accounts that we use, you can actually get a lower rate of return on our account and get a higher after tax income compared to taxable accounts like CDs. So it's an example of what you were talking about, Paul, where we focus more on taxes rather than returns or yield. Mm-hmm. We can actually get a little less of a yield and get a higher after tax income stream because of the tax favorite account.
And we just don't want to focus on yield. We want to focus on the amount of money that we're actually going to get.
Exactly, and that's where people get lost or get taken off track. Is all they'd focus on is yield and return rather than the amount of income.
That's not to say we're not concerned about yield. We're not blind about it. But
for the money. See, for the money that we need, that this person needs to retire for the next 5 years, that's money that they need to pay their mortgage with, their grocery bills, their utilities, and their necessities, everything that they need. That money, what's more important is not yield. What's most important is maximizing the amount of income that you're going to receive. That's what's most important, and that's what we're able to provide.
So basically, this couple needed $13,000 a year.
Yep.
They put 60, 63 in, and that,
yep.
and they got paid out what 50? What is that? 5 times 15, 60, 65,000.
Mm-hmm.
So they didn't get much of a yield in that, but it's guaranteed, and they can't lose it, and they know it's coming in. And what's interesting, we haven't talked about this with the couple. Let's say that they start that income stream, and Mr. dies, God forbid. Well, Mrs. doesn't miss a hitch, does she? The income just keeps coming right to her.
Exactly, and that's one of the keys. Also, let's say that we kept the money in the CD. And remember our goal, one of our goals with building one of these plans is to always retain the amount of original principal that we put in. So our goal is to always keep at least our original principal. So the total plan, we're using about $250,000. And if we put that $250,000 into a CD and just withdrew the interest, which is what he was planning on doing because he wanted to keep that principal intact, at a 3% interest rate, that's only giving him $7,400 a year of income.
Right, so about half.
And at the after-tax amount is $5,300 after he's paying taxes. Now, our strategy with the lower rate of return is giving him $13,000 a year of income, and it's giving him an after-tax amount of $12,900 a year. So only $200 of that income he's paying taxes on. So that's an example of how, even with a smaller rate of return, we're providing him double, more than double the amount of income.
And that was the first bucket. Now, that's going to be, the first bucket is always going to be the lowest yielding bucket, mm-hmm. because it has the shortest amount of time before it's turned on. But the second bucket may be turned on after 5 or 10 years, and that really starts to smoke. That's where they really look good, is when you get into the second and third buckets.
Yep, and in this case, we only had to put in $58,000 into that bucket, and if that grew at 5%, and then what we did is now we turned that income stream, that bucket on for income stream for 5 years, and we built in some inflation, so now we're getting $15,000 a year of income stream for 5 years. And the after-tax amount is $14,100. So of that $15,000 a year of income, he's only paying $933 in taxes.
So the first bucket we put in $63,000, guaranteed us $13,000. Mm-hmm. The second bucket we put in
$58,000,
and that guarantees us $15,000 or $75,000 out.
$15,000, correct?
Yeah. So there we really start. Now we got a $22,000. Gain, if you will. Am mm-hmm. I thinking right there? Yeah,
yep.
$22,000 gain. So we didn't have much of a gain on the first bucket, but the second bucket, we had a $22,000 gain. So really the key is, if you take the first bucket, second bucket, third bucket, and average the returns, then you get a respectable yield across the whole plan.
Definitely.
What's the third bucket look like?
And then the last bucket, we had about $128,000 left over the original amount, which was the original $250,000. And we put that into an account where we deferred that for 10 years. And then what we did is we started taking income from that account for the rest of their life. And that income stream would go on forever, guaranteed never to outlive. And that amount was $17,150 a year.
And they put how much in?
They put in
$128,000, and it guarantees them $17,000 a year,
mm-hmm.
for life.
Yep.
Now, let's say, for example, after 10 years, we know they've pulled out what? Let's see, it'd be 17 times 12. What is that? Why am I having a brain fart here? $17,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm sorry. $17,000 a year. In 10 years, they'd have pulled $170,000 out of there.
Mm-hmm.
And what would the account still be worth after 10 years? In other words, what I'm trying to get to is, we're sharing with people, Kevin, that the income stream is there for the rest of their life.
Yes.
Let's say that they go to year two, and then they both die in an automobile accident.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't still touched the primary balance of that account.
Exactly. The goal is to always retain the amount of original principal that we started with.
Mm-hmm.
So we should still have the $250,000 that we started with in case of that emergency, is basically what you're saying. Upon death, if you go to medical emergency, car accident, like you said, that you're still going to have the original amount that we put in available to you for an emergency.
I guess that's what I'm trying to get to. Upon their demises, they've taken income for several years, and upon both their demises, in that account is still the original principal they've put in and some growth.
Exactly.
That would be passed on to the heirs, I guess, or church or whatever, whoever decided to give the money to.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not talking about depleting the estate. We're talking about developing an income for life in bucket one, a raise into bucket two, another raise into bucket three, and then bucket three carries them for the rest of their life, and they've still retained the original principal. So they've gotten income for, let's say they died after 10 years in bucket three, they've gotten a guaranteed income stream for 20 years, a respectable income stream, and they've retained all of their principal after that 20 years. Is that accurate?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So what's the downside?
Well, I think that the downside, if I was on the outside looking in on this plan, the first thing I would do is look at the first bucket and say, you know what, your internal rate of return on this is only 2%. And
right.
For people who have been born and raised on focusing on yields and returns, that might not be acceptable to them. But the way that we break it down and the reports that we're able to provide is to show the after-tax income streams, and we're able to compare it to the what traditional people are telling you to do, and we can show you how, even at a much lower rate of return on maybe this first segment, that we can still outperform the traditional products that are earning 4, 5, or even 6% sometimes.
And it's important for people to understand, Kevin, they may be only getting a couple points or 2% on that first bucket. They're getting guaranteed 5 on the second, and it's going up from there. So we got to get people to realize it's very important to understand that you don't just focus on yield, because yield can come back and bite you. You got to remember, what is the purpose of the money? The purpose of the money is to guarantee our income, our livelihood, this is our life savings. This is what we save this money with the intent of needing it when we retire. And it's so interesting to me that they focus just on accumulation, 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 and that's important. But you got to focus on what's the purpose of the money down the road. And in this case, I'll tell you that most of my clients and most people I talk to would rather have a guaranteed, predictable, safe income stream than a high yield. Now, that's not to say that we can't get a decent yield, because the money that we're not putting in the market, we're going to go out and get market returns out of. That's if they have any money left to do that with. So it's important that people understand this is about predictable, guaranteed income streams. It's about being able to know exactly what your income is and that you're not going to run out the rest of your life. And that brings a great deal of peace of mind to people. Would you say that you've gotten feedback from a lot of your advisors that in fact, that's why people pursue these plans?
Yeah, and one of the things that I'm often asked is this a plan? How confident are you about this plan? Is this, how do you know that this is the best thing that's out there? And you know, I've implemented so many of these, and I could just tell you that the people I work with, like yourself, and then I do talk to clients as well, is that when people understand it and they put it into place, they become passionate. They become passionate about it, like you are. Like, you're passionate about spreading the message and trying to get as many people to understand this concept as possible, because you know that what people are doing right now isn't going to work, and what you're doing is going to work. And it's almost like a mission to educate them and to save them from doing it the wrong way.
And these are contractual guarantees. I mean, this isn't just some guy promising you this. This is actually in writing, right?
Yeah, definitely.
You know, so, you know, it's funny you mentioned that, because I was just talking about a client this morning that has got it. He got it, and now he's starting to communicate to people what I've been communicating to him. And it's so exciting to see people when they get it and they have so much confidence about what they're doing moving forward. And this is a younger guy. I mean, we've worked on Frank's plan. This is Frank's plan. Mm-hmm. And we talked about his this morning. It's amazing. You know, I got about 20 seconds left. You got anything you want to say real quick, Kevin?
I'll just end it on saying that it's been a pleasure working with you, Paul, on putting together all these kind of plans. And I'm sure we have about 30, 40, 50, 100 more to go.
I'm sure we do. We got quite a few we're working on right now. Hey, listen, this is Paul Nichols, the Investor Coach. Thank you so much, Kevin Neuber, for coming on. I got to run. We got about 3-4 seconds. Have a wonderful Saturday. We'll look forward to talking to you next week. Enjoy your weekend. Do you own stock in the company you work for? A lot of workers do these days, and in many cases, you can buy company stock at a discount, which is great. But if you're not careful, you could end up having too much of a good thing. Look at your total investments. If your employer's stock is more than 15% of your total assets, think about selling some of it. Consider this. Institutional money managers rarely invest more than 5% of their investment into any one stock. If the pros won't do it, why would you? You might like your company, but having a lot of your money in one security is aggressive, speculative, and could be dangerous. Let us help you make the right investment decisions for you and your family. Just call our office at Financial Abundance, 814-867-5745, or check out our website, www.financialabundanceinc.com. That's 814-867-5745.